بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 26th of December in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 20th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached the point where not a moment too soon, the blessed ditch has been dug by our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his noble companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The unholy allies advanced, and when they saw the Muslims camped outside the city, they were encouraged in their hope of putting an end to them as quickly as possible. However, when they drew nearer, they were amazed to see the broad trench which lay between them and the Muslim defenders on the other side. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb thereupon said, radiyallahu, this plan has not been employed by the Arabs before. Subhanallah. This plan has not been employed by the Arabs before. This is recorded in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, Ibn Hisham in his Sira 2-224. So look at the brilliance of Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. So when they come in with the 10,000 men strong, they saw the Muslims outside, so they thought they've come out to fight because it'll be a quick battle, finish. When they got closer, they saw the ditch. And look how quickly Abu Sufyan worked it out radiyallahu. He goes, this is not the plan of an Arab. How did he know that? How did he know it was not an Arab? It was Salman al-Farsi, radiyallahu. It was on the instigation of the venerable Persian, Sayyidina Salman, radiyallahu. The unholy allies naturally had not come prepared for a long drawn-out siege. And thus they felt the strain as the weeks passed without a successful breakthrough. So obviously they've thought of every possibility. But one thing they had not come out with any iota was there's going to be a siege. So did they bring their food supplies? Have they prepared? No. So as they were trying to break through, the strain was taking its toll. However, the believers were also now beginning to feel the strain as the supplies and reserves were now running low in the Muslim camp. It's obviously a two-way process. So it was a matter of will. If this was not all, news had also now reached our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Jewish tribe of Qurayza, who were within the confines of the trench and had a non-aggressive pact with the Muslims, were on the verge of betrayal and were also ready to attack the believers from within. So picture the scene. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers, they're struggling. Food supply is really short. Now they've heard news that the only Jewish tribe within the trench, the Banu Qurayza, they've actually aligned with the Kuffar outside. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus assessed the critical situation. He decided that the powerful Ghatafan tribe on the outside could be negotiated with, so that they would split from the allied forces. So going back to yesterday's session, they only joined because half of the produce of Khaybar was given to them. So the Prophet must have known that. So he thought if anybody's going to break away from the allies, it's going to be the Ghatafan tribe. So he was thinking how to deal with them. So this narration is recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 445-6 of the New English Translation, Hafiz Suhaili in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf, 3-422, Tabari in his Tariq, 2-94, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 3, page 142 of the English Translation, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 422-3 of the New English Translation. Imam Zuhri, Abu Bakr ibn Shihab, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, when the Muslims were suffering extreme hardship during the battle of the trench, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he sent a message for Uyayna ibn Hisn and Harith ibn Auf Murri, who were two leaders of Banu Ghatafan tribes. So he wants the chiefs of Ghatafan. So how did he get a message across when there's a trench? And the response is, the Prophet has spies. So maybe on the outside, there were some of the Muslims working, doing a dangerous role. They got the news to the chiefs of Ghatafan to come. Upon arrival, the Prophet ﷺ offered them a third of the produce of Al-Madinah on condition that they withdraw their men from fighting the Muslims. They greedily agreed. The treaty was thus being concluded between Rasulullah ﷺ and the two leaders, and they were already in the process of writing the document. Verbal discussions were still underway and the treaty was not yet concluded. Witnesses had also not been called. So what did the Prophet say to the chiefs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, we will give you one third of the dead produce of Al-Madinah, which is much more than Khaybar. Half. So they all, that's all they wanted. They thought, yeah, no problem. We'll split. But where's the, you need to sign a treaty or a conclusion to the matter. Witnesses were needed. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to conclude the agreement, he summoned the two Sa'ads. Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, the chief of the Aus, and Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, the chief of Khazraj. They were the witnesses. When they arrived, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented the situation to them and asked for their opinions. In other words, this is what I think is best. We're in a very tight spot. If you can weaken the allies, the Ghatafan will leave with one third of the produce. What's your suggestion? The two men looked at each other, meaning they were quite shocked at this. And then they said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this something you are doing because you wish to do it? Or number two, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do. In which case, we have no option but to carry it out. Or number three, is it simply something you are doing for our benefit? Now this part of their statement is actually our belief. They're teaching you belief about, you know, our belief with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what three things did they say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Have you done this because it's your wish? Meaning this is your desire. If it is your desire, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Quran says, he does not speak from his own desire. Then they said, oh, has Allah ta'ala given you a direct command? Meaning Quran or Sunnah. Did Jibreel come to you? Alayhi salatu wa salam. Or are you just doing this for our benefit? Meaning, is this just something you're thinking about us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am doing this only for your benefit. For I see that the Arabs are attacking you on a united platform and are now ravaging you from all sides. By engaging in this treaty, I wish to dilute their strength somewhat. So the Prophet told them, it's not revelation. Allah Ta'ala has not inspired me. It's not my desire, meaning this is something I'm thinking for you. When they got that, now they realize they have a say. You understand? Because the Quran says, when the Messenger of Allah desires, you have no say in the matter. Surah Ahzab. When the Prophet said, no, I'm thinking about you, then Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, he spoke, radiallahu anhu. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people and us had been worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipped idols. Neither did we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor did we recognize who he was. During those times, these same people never entertained hope of eating a single date from Al-Madinah, unless it was offered to them as a token of hospitality or they bought it. How can we thus now give them any portion of our wealth once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us with Islam, guided us to it, and accorded us tremendous respect due to it? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thus now have no need for this treaty. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all that we are willing to give them are the strikes of our swords, until the time arrives when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes judgment between us and them. Subhanallah. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he said, radiyallahu, he goes, when we were worshipping idols, they respected us. He goes, when they came to Al-Madinah, we would only give them one day if they were our guests, or they bought it. Now that Allah Ta'ala has honored us with Islam, we're going to hand over 1/3 of our produce. He goes, we've got no need for this. And he goes, the swords will decide the matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, then you know best what you want. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu then took hold of the paper and erased whatever was written upon it and said, they may now do their best to try to harm us. Just let them do what they think they can do. Let's see what they can do. So now, why is this fascinating, this report? Because it teaches our belief. When do we have a say? Look how interesting. If somebody goes, whenever the Prophet, you know, wants something, do we have a say? And the people get confused, you know, it's because they don't study. They go, no, brother, 100%, that's it. The Prophet did it. Then you go, are you sure, brother? He goes, well, if the Prophet, you know, he's the Prophet. He goes, what happened to the treaty in the Battle of the Trench? The guy gives you that blank look. Right? He goes, treaty in the Battle of the Trench? What? Well, there you go, brother. You're going to have to explain everything to you. And then he goes, didn't Sa'd ibn Mu'adh say 3 things? Is it your desire? Has Allah Ta'ala commanded it? Or are you just doing this for our benefit? Why did he say that? Because he was making sure, have we got a say here? And when he did get the green light, he goes, we don't need it. Now think about that. If the Prophet had desired it, they would have fought their nafs. If Allah Ta'ala had ordered it, they would have fought their nafs. Why? They wouldn't want to do it. But that is their iman. Their iman was in place now, because they've been trained by the best. And imagine those two chiefs. What's happened here? In a slightly different report, Abu Huraira added, radiallahu anhu, one of the two chiefs, Harith of Ghatafan, he approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, if you do not give us half the produce of Al-Madinah, we shall fill Madinah with cavalry and infantry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, wait until I consult with the two Sa'ds, radiallahu anhu. Then it's the same report. Harith thereupon responded by scowling, you have betrayed me, O Muhammad. This is in Bazaar, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 423 of the New English Translation. So this adds important details. How much was the Prophet offering them? 1/3. This report says, we want half. We don't want 1/3. We don't want 33%. We want 50%. And if you don't give it us, Medina is going to be full of our men and horses and soldiers. And then the report is the same as the previous one. The Prophet goes, let me consult. And the two Sa'ds went, get out of here. And then Harith goes, you betrayed us, Muhammad. You told us to come, and this is what happened. Then Allah alayhi salam. And in a slightly different report, Abu Huraira also said, radiyallahu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent for 4 Sa'ds. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Sa'd ibn Ubad, Sa'd ibn Rabi, Sa'd ibn Khaytama, and number 5, Sa'd ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala. So this is why I mentioned that you need to know the father's name. When you go, Sa'd, which Sa'd are you talking about? Then he goes, so, the great Sa'd. And he goes, who's the great Sa'd? There's plenty of them. Is it Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas? You go, no, not him, right? And he goes, well, he's the greatest. And he goes, what do you mean, Sa'd ibn Rabi? Who's he? And he goes, don't even know the martyr of Uhud. He goes, Sa'd ibn, there you go. And look how beautiful. The Prophet goes, let me consult the Sa'ads. And they all came. Why? Because the Ansar is their land. The Prophet wanted them to have their say. And then the same thing happened. This is recorded in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 5409, or 6-28. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 6, page 132, comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 423-4 of the New English Translation. Our beloved messenger, after hearing the Sa'ads, he himself said to the two Ghatafan chiefs, you may now return, for between us and you is now the sword. This is recorded in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 9737, Ibn Hisham in his Sira, 3-234. This is very important. Somebody could say, well, was the Prophet happy with that? Because if you didn't mention this before, you're thinking he wanted to do something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they basically said, they went against it. So look how the Prophet responded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told the chiefs, return. Now it's the sword. Meaning I'm very happy. So you could look at this another way. Maybe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was testing them. Because look what he said at the end, return. Now it's the sword. You get the impression that that's what he wanted. But he was maybe testing the Sa'ads to say, let's see whether you've got the understanding. And look how beautiful, they had the understanding. Subhanallah, such was the bravery of the venerable chieftains of the Ansar. Radiallahu ta'ala. Think about it, easy for us to say it now comfortably in the masjid. But if you've got your whole city surrounded, and you can't even go for a call of nature without failing for your life, and you're coming out with statements like this, this is something else. And this is the bravery. So if anybody asks you, can you show me the bravery of the Ansar? You say, there you go. Look how they're talking as if they've got the upper hand. This now left only the rumors of the treachery of the Banu Qurayza within the confines of the city, which had to be confirmed. So now, the Prophet wanted to weaken the allies outside. It didn't happen. But now, what about the inside, the Banu Qurayza? Is it true that they're being treacherous? Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered both the Sa'ads to go and confirm these reports. Who did he appoint? Sa'ad ibn Ubadah and Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh. He told them both, find out. They're your allies. See what's happening. Get the information from them one way or the other, the Banu Qurayza from within. So what happened? So this is recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Sira, page 454 of the New English Translation, Hafiz Suhaili in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf, 3-422, Uyun al-Athar, 2-38, Musa ibn Uqba, Tabari in his Tafsir, 20-218, Ibn Kathir, Sira, volume 3, page 140-1 of the English Translation. Ibn Ishaq, he said, Rahmatullah alayh, when news of the treachery of Banu Qurayza reached Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers, he sent out Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, the chief of the Aus, along with Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, the chief of Khazraj, accompanied by Abdullah ibn Rawaha and Khawat ibn Jubair, informing them, go to those people and determine whether what we have heard is true. Then inform me on your return by some unintelligible remark that I will understand, but that will not weaken the resolve of the Muslims. However, if they are keeping to their pact, you can report this openly to our men. So what's happening? The Prophet's appointed four men to get the knowledge, information from the Banu Qurayza, two Sa'ads, and Khawad ibn Jubair and Abdullah ibn Rawah, radiallahu ta'ala. And he gives them a very interesting command. If they are treacherous, when you come back, don't say openly, because it will weaken the Muslims, because we're being attacked from within. Do it in a way that I will understand. But if they are being firm and they've kept to their pledge, you can say it openly. The four men left and they reached Ka'ab, the chieftain of Banu Qurayza and his men. Musa ibn Uqba continued, rahmatullah alayh. They went up with them into their fortress and called upon them to renew the pact if they had broken it. So what they said was, we've got a pact. We will defend you will defend us. But we would like to renew it. The Qurayza men replied arrogantly, What do you want now? When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has broken our wing earlier and exiled them, meaning the Banu al-Nadir. So you have to explain this. So when they said, let's renew, it's already, we already, let's renew it. The Banu Qurayza goes, when he has broken our wing and exiled them, who were they referring to? So let's look at this. The Banu al-Nadir had been exiled by our beloved messenger for their recent treachery. That is, on their trying to assassinate him. This occurred between the battle of Badr and Uhud. The Holy Prophet thereupon besieged them for 6 days, upon which they eventually surrendered with the permission that they could take with them whatever they could carry. Refer to Bukhari ibn Abi Hatim ibn Kathir, Sira, volume 3, page 100 of the English translation. Some of them went to Khaybar, some of them went to Asham. Refer to Bayhaqi ibn Ishaq ibn Kathir, Sira, volume 3, page 101-2 of the English translation. So this is the details. So who are these tribes? The Banu al-Nadir. So there was quite a few tribes. Banu al-Nadir was another tribe within the confines of Al-Madinah. They had tried to assassinate the Prophet. Think about that. Right? And you can ask me after what was the plan. But Allah Ta'ala revealed to the Prophet. They looked to mischief. When was this? Between Badr and Uhud. So the Prophet ﷺ besieged the Banu al-Nadir for their treachery. They went into like kind of their own compounds. They eventually surrendered. And the Prophet ﷺ graciously allowed them to carry whatever they could carry, but anything they couldn't carry, they had to leave. So when they left, where did these Jews of Banu al-Nadir go? Some of them went to Khaybar, some of them went to Asham. So now let's go back to what they said. What did they say to the Sa'ds? What do you want now? When he has broken our wing and exiled them, meaning the Banu al-Nadir, he goes, look what he did to our brothers. Because he humiliated them, he exiled them. What do you want? Then the report continues. The Banu Qurayza then criticized Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a result, Sa'd ibn Ubadah couldn't control his anger. And he began to return the abuse. So we don't know what happened. So you can imagine Sa'd listening, you know, thinking, you betrayed us. But then they start speaking ill of the Prophet. They go, which Prophet? Your Prophet? The one that came to you. And they said some, you know, a'udhu billah, some bad words. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah, Iman, he flipped and he started abusing the Banu Qurayza. You can imagine what he said to them, you know, you monkeys, you pigs. The report continues. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, who was calmer than Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he said, oh Sa'd ibn Ubadah, I swear we did not come here for this. Our issue with them is too serious to settle with bad language. In other words, calm down. In other words, he was reminding us, the Prophet sent us. We didn't, you know, said in the way that he got them. What are you getting angry for? Because we can't settle this with bad language. So Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, who was calmer, he started speaking. He said, you know the relationship between us, O Banu Qurayza. Hence, I am now afraid that you might have happened to you what happened to Banu al-Nadir, or even worse. So he gave him sincere advice. He goes, that tribe that you just mentioned, they got exiled. I fear something worse for you. In other words, learn a lesson from that. I'm giving you sincere advice. They replied, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for saying this. This is what they said to Sa'd ibn Mu'ad. You must have eaten your father's penis. Astaghfirullah. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad still controlled his anger, radiyallahu anhu. He goes, it would have been much more appropriate and much better if you had responded differently. So Ibn Ishaq continues. So now look how interesting. We're learning something about the Sa'ds. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, you know, he was more emotional. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad had that strength. And he was still controlling. They were trying to provoke him. Because they knew, look, he hasn't been provoked. And even when they swore at him, mentioning his father, he still came. Ibn Ishaq continued. They then further criticized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, who is Rasulullah? We have no pact with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh wanted to hear. He wanted to hear it from their lips. Then he let loose. He started reviling them back with equally vicious words. Sa'd ibn Ubadah then said, we now know. Let us leave. Don't insult them anymore. So when they got that knowledge, the report continues. What was the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If they betrayed, don't tell me openly. Thereupon both Sa'ads and those with them returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave him the salam and they said, Udl wa al-qara. Udl wa al-qara. By this, they were referring to their treachery towards those who had gone to Ar-Raji, Khubayb and his companions. So they were mentioning an incident where Sahaba were sent and they were killed treacherously. They were taken and killed. So they went, Udl wa al-qara, meaning treachery. When the Prophet heard this, he said, Allahu Akbar. Rejoice, O Muslims. Rejoice. So the Sahaba, you know, they were thinking, yeah, you got good news. Right? But the news was disastrous. They actually, you know, so the Prophet was basically inspired, oh, Allahu Akbar, rejoice. So the Sahaba, yes, mashallah, subhanallah. And look how amazing, he was the perfect military commander, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look how he knew how to keep things in control. Right? Imagine you were there, you'd think, give me 2 minutes. Right? Go back into your tent, give a sip of water. Right? You know, Bushman would say, Allahu Akbar, rejoice. So, how intricate were the two sides during the Battle of the Trench? Look how beautiful. They nullified the treaty for them outside. Ghadafani go, we don't give no, get out of here, swords, we'll deal with you with our swords. And now they've been sent to Banu Qurayza. And look at they're bouncing off each other, helping each other. Sa'd ibn Ubadah flips. Sa'd, oh no, he's gone. You've got to be careful, you know, we're going to get the information. And then eventually when they came out with, he wanted them to say, we have broken no pact. He goes, that's it. And then he started letting loose. So the question goes to the minds, why did they let them return? If you were in the Jewish camp and you've told the Muslims that we're going to betray you, why have you let them leave? And the response is, at that time, they haven't given that news to the allies outside. You understand? So they feared that if we treacherously kill these men, the Prophet is going to turn against us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were waiting to get the confirmation from the outside, so they let them leave. And this is also the brilliance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why would he send his men to their deaths? Right? So note, if you look between the lines, you see he was the perfect military commander. And he was sending the men who knew. Now why did he send the Sa'ds? Because the Banu Qurayza, they were allies. And let me tell you something about the Banu Qurayza. Before the Prophet came to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was the Aus, whose chief was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu. There was the Khazraj, whose chief was Sa'd ibn Ubad, and there was the Jews. And the Jews, what they would do, astaghfirullah, to weaken the tribes, sometimes they would ally with the Khazraj, because we're with you, 100% with you. So when they would attack the Aus, the Jews would be helping the Khazraj. But then they'd switch sides. Right? They'll go to Khazraj. No, he goes, where with you? And the scholars say they did this to create disunity amongst the Arabs, so they could have the authority. You understand? Now, look what's happening here. Everything's reversed. The Aus chief, the Khazraj chief, they've united. What's united? Islam. Now, the true colors have been exposed. He goes, they knew. He goes, shaitans. He goes, they're going to cause a breach. The believers were now in dire straits. The enemy forces from outside and from within were about to launch their attack simultaneously. After doing everything humanly possible, it was now time. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his unparalleled hands. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Ibn Kathir, Sirah Volume 3, page 151 of the English translation, Abdullah ibn Abu Awfa radiyallahu anhu said, Rasulullah made the following dua against the allies. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealer of the book, quick to take account, defeat the allies. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, defeat them and shake them. Now you made the dua. So now why did he make dua now? Because he's teaching you. You know, sit in masjid, eat grapes and say, look, Palestine be freed. I'll make a quick dua. Right? Burma, don't worry, I'll make quick dua. Get apples out. Right? What preparation have you made to help them? Look at the seerat. The Prophet is doing everything physically possible. He's ticking all the boxes, thinking, look, this is what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. Every box is ticked. When all the boxes are ticked, Rasulullah makes dua. Teaching you, tie your camel, then make dua. This is why when that sahaba came and he was so eager to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't tie the camel. You know, you can't blame him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have you tied your camel? And he goes, no. He goes, I put my trust in Allah. But we said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've trusted Allah. I've come to you, Ya Rasulullah. And Allah will look after the camel. Beautiful words. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go back, tie the camel up, then put your trust in Allah. Tirmidhi, authentic hadith. So what is he teaching you? Make all efforts yourself, then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, brothers used to joke, you know, imagine, you know, going back to our level, taxi drivers. If one of us goes, yeah, go to Shai Green, turn car engine off, Friday night, just get flask out, drink tea, and by the time you finished, 7 hours later, you'll have £200 in your pocket, come back home. What would they say to you? How am I going to make £200 if I'm just drinking tea? Put your trust in Allah, brother. Put your trust in Allah. Right? What would you say to that person? Right? You say, I'll pour that tea over your head, brother. You gotta make effort. Of course, Allah has written the rizq, but you have to make effort. And then there's another hadith, which people misquote. The hadith is in Tirmidhi Sahih. They go, oh. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that if you got iman like birds, if you have the trust, the tawakkul like birds, he goes, look, they go out and they come back with full bellies. He goes, look, I'm like that bird. Right? And then you say, how are you like that bird? He says, look, you know, he puts his trust and belly comes out. Because bellies come out, that's true. Your bellies come out, but that's not true trust. What did the Prophet say? The bird goes out. It's seeking its rizq. And then it comes back. Even the bird knows how to do tawakkul. Right? So note here, going directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the battle of the trench. Everything he's doing, trying to weaken the forces outside. Finding out what's happening inside. Why didn't he just make a quick dua? Yeah, Allah, what's happening? Right? You know, teaching you. In case you're in the same scenario, this is what you need to do. And after you've done everything you can do, humanly possible, then he made a dua. And look at that powerful dua he made to finish. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealer of the book, quick to take account, defeat the allies. But then he said, defeat them, shake them. Don't just defeat them. Make them, you know, mess them up. Never to come back again. And did they ever come back after that? Never. So all I mentioned today was again the battle of the trench and leading up to the main encounter, as they say. I notice so many lessons when going through the life of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I notice how intimate and how critical a role the Sa'ads played in these most important matters, i.e. during the state of war. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحان الله وبحمده اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل السوء سنة الله